Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, I'm John Osterlund. So tomorrow is election day here in the city of New Orleans. We're voting for mayor. We're voting for city council. And I always think elections are extremely important, but there's a lot of times when you see how many people actually showed up to vote, it's not that many. We'll see tomorrow in New Orleans the percentage of registered voters here in the city who show up. That will 50% show up? Probably not. Will 40% show up? And what's interesting about the mayor about the race tomorrow is that we have our mayor, Letaxa Cantrell. Although I don't know if I should call her Letaxa anymore. I've always called her Letaxa because she owed the IRS about a decade's worth of back income taxes. Her and her husband, the lawyer, owed the IRS over $100,000. It was like $110,000 or $115,000. And she owed them that money while she was a New Orleans City Council member. She owed them that money while she ran for mayor. And she owed them that money her first couple of years as mayor of New Orleans. But over the last year, sometime during the last year, it was during the pandemic, she made a deal with the IRS and she ended up paying them, from what I understand, about $35,000. Boy, that would be nice if you or me or any American who didn't pay their federal income taxes for over a decade and then reached a deal with the IRS and you only paid about 30% of what you actually owed the federal government. Well, that was our mayor, Letaxa Cantrell. But before that, I called her LaTweeta because she loves to tweet. She loves Twitter. And I called her LaTweeta. I called her Letaxa. I think her biggest nickname, though, well, some people call her LaToilet. But I think her biggest nickname is LaToya the Destroyer. But she's running for another 4 years as mayor of New Orleans tomorrow. And let's face the facts, from everything I can tell, and I pay attention to this stuff, she's going to win, and she's going to win easily. I think there are 13 other people on the ballot. Most names many people haven't heard of. And as far as I could tell, the people who like her and support her, I see them on social media, they think she's been great during the pandemic. They think she's handled things wonderfully and kept people in New Orleans safe, even though there are people on the other side of that discussion who feel she really hurt businesses. But anyways, it looks like she's going to easily win another 4 years. And you know who's running for re-election in the New Orleans City Council? Helena Moreno. Wait a minute, I don't want to sound like a gringo when I say that. Helena Moreno is running. And she's probably going to win again, too. People like her. I don't agree with her politically, but I like Helena Moreno. I'm a big Helena Moreno fan. man, is she easy on the eyes. You know, she used to be on, she used to be a news anchor, a news reporter on Channel 6 here in New Orleans. And then she was a state representative. Now she's a city councilwoman. I wonder if she's going to run for mayor maybe in 4 years when Lataxa, Latuita, Latoilet, Latoya the Destroyer is finished. That'd be something. Mayor Elena Moreno. Mayor Moreno! Mayor Moreno! So that's tomorrow. That's election day here in New Orleans, and it's supposed to be a nice, cool day tomorrow. There's a cold front moving in for a couple of days. Yeah, Coleman, you don't like that at all. When it gets below 75, you don't like it.
Nah, not a fan.
I have no issue with when the cold fronts move in. I mean, most of the year we sweat our tails off. Many days in this city. So when a cold front like this comes in, I like it.
Yeah, you're one of those weirdos that wear shorts and stuff in weather like this.
So in Orleans Parish tomorrow in the city of New Orleans, it is election day. And I've lived in this city now. I've lived in a few different neighborhoods. But I've lived in this city now, what's it, the end of 2020, it's going to be 2021? No, it's the end of 2021, it's going to be 2022. Going on 14 years, almost 14 years I've lived in this city. And I don't think anybody who I ever voted for won anything. Well, I'm the minority in this city. I'm a white guy. I'm the minority of this city. And there aren't a lot of white libertarians who are running around the city of New Orleans. But you think I'd get frustrated? You think I'd stop voting? I mean, it's going on 14 years, and I don't think anybody I ever voted for anything ever won anything here in the city of New Orleans. But I shouldn't let that stop me from going out tomorrow. Quickly, one thing I just saw about our mayor, Lataxa Cantrell, she wants to pay young people $350 a month in a new program. She wants to pay 125 young people in between the ages of 16 and 24 who are either, who are neither working nor in school. She wants to take 125 people who live in the city of New Orleans in between the ages of 16 and 24 who are neither working nor in school, and she wants to pay them $350 a month. And when I say pay them, I should just say give them, because they're not doing anything to get the money. She just wants to give them $350 a month for most of next year under a program that seeks to help youth build wealth and boost their financial literacy.
Well, just giving them the money doesn't help with that. Earning the money helps with that.
I know, Coleman. I agree with you. And, you know, there's a couple of other cities in America that are doing this. But they're doing it, the other cities are doing it with just really poor people. And I don't think there's an age limit. They're just paying them like $500 or $1,000 or something like that a month just to help them. It's just completely free money, just giving poor people money. Here, you obviously are having a tough time in the richest country in the history of mankind. Here, just take this. So she wants to do that. The residents will receive the funds through a prepaid bank card provided by a finance company. And evidently charter school networks and other partners will refer program participants to City Hall. But that's something new she wants to do next year, and she's going to do it. She's taking 125 people ages 16 to 24 who neither work or they don't go to school, and she's just going to give them $350 a month every month for most of next year to help them.
I wonder how many people are going to quit their jobs and drop school just to get this free money.
Well, $350 a month, that helps out, but, I mean, it doesn't go.
Yeah, but you don't have to work for it.
Yeah, I know. Here's an extra $350 for doing nothing, yeah. Oh, anyways, tomorrow's election day. And those are the kind of things that people vote for LaTaxa Cantrell for. Right there. We have a lot to get to on the show this morning. Aaron Rodgers has his girlfriend is an actress. She's another one who's really easy on the eyes. Of course she is. She's Aaron Rodgers' girlfriend. She was just bragging about the size of his penis. We're going to talk about that. And we got a lot to get to on the show this morning. Hang out with us. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. J.O. here with you. And yesterday, Odell Beckham Jr. made his decision, and he decided to sign a one-year contract with the Los Angeles Rams. What's interesting about that is that 2 days ago, and we talked about it on our show yesterday, Odell Beckham Jr. let someone at ESPN know that he had narrowed it down to three teams. And the Rams weren't one of the teams. The teams were the Green Bay Packers, the Kansas City Chiefs, and the New Orleans Saints. And we were talking a little bit about that yesterday, how it would make a lot of sense for him. And remember, he went to high school here in New Orleans. He played at Isidore Newman uptown. Then he obviously went to LSU, was great there. But yesterday on the show when we were talking about it, the man who left the Cleveland Browns, him in the organization, and you know, he was still under contract with Cleveland, but he sat down with management in Cleveland, said, I'm not happy here. I want out. And basically they released him. And then when that happens, if you're still under contract in the NFL, you get put on waivers. And then any team, and there's an order, like the worst teams are at the top of the order and the best teams are at the bottom of the order. Any team, a team could claim you off waivers, but they would have to pay you what's left on your contract. And so I don't think any team wanted to do that. And so he cleared waivers. And once he cleared waivers, that means that basically his contract was ripped up. He's no longer with the Cleveland Browns, and it was up to him to sign with any team he wanted to. We thought he narrowed it down to three teams, but the Los Angeles Rams were a team. Was the team that he signed with. And yesterday I said, boy, if it was one of those three teams that he first said he wanted to play for, it'd be something if Aaron Rodgers was throwing the ball with Devontae Adams, another wide receiver, one of the best in the NFL on that team. It would have been something if Patrick Mahomes was throwing the ball with Tyreek Hill and their great tight end, Travis Kelce, other people catching balls on that team. And then if he came to the Saints, there is no other great wide receiver. Michael Thomas is out for the rest of the season.
And plus, he doesn't have a quarterback on the status of Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes that would be throwing him the ball.
No, he didn't. But you look at the Los Angeles Rams, Coleman. Their quarterback is really good, Matthew Stafford. It's his first year with the Rams after being stuck in Detroit for over a decade. And they've got the literally the leading wide receiver in the NFL on their team right now, a guy named Cooper Kupp. And they also have a great wide receiver named Robert Woods. So, you know, you put Odell Beckham on that team with that quarterback and those receivers, he's going to make them a lot better.
All right. Now, when it comes to New Orleans, are your Facebook friends like mine, have they already written the Saints off now that Odell Beckham has chosen not to come to New Orleans? Who do we have other than Kamara and Ingram that can actually help the team? We're on our third string quarterback. I don't know what Taysom Hill morale is like since he didn't get the quarterback position. We don't have any good receivers. Michael Thomas is going to play this year. We can't just lean on Kamara and Ingram every play. So some of my Facebook friends have already written, they're looking towards next season. They're not even going to pay attention to what's going on this season. They don't see a lot of hope and glimmer of light.
I mean, look, as much as we love the Saints and root for the Saints, you know, their chances of getting to and or winning the Super Bowl this year, they're not great. I don't think they would. I mean, they would be a little bit better, but not great if they got Odell Beckham. If Odell Beckham Jr. decided to come home and play here, they're not great. You know, the Saints have some issues. This week is going to be brutal. They're on the road at one of the best teams in the league, Tennessee, and it looks like Alvin Kamara isn't going to play. He's got a banged-up knee.
Uh-oh. See?
Yeah. You hope next year with Michael Thomas coming back, and who knows what the quarterback situation will be, whether Jameis Winston returns, whether Trevor Siemian does well enough to in the second half of this season to get a shot for next year. If the rookie they drafted out of Notre Dame, Ian Book, matures, because he was really, really good in college, and they have him on the roster here. Or if Taysom Hill finally gets a chance. I mean, but does any of that sound really, really exciting?
Sounds like we're just patching stuff together and trying to make it work.
Yeah. Well, the Saints got a solid defense, and they have for the last couple of years. And
where were they Sunday?
Even though they didn't play that great, their defense this past Sunday. But so that's that. And since it was a one-year contract he signed with the Rams, there are some Saints fans thinking Odell Beckham Jr. may come home next year when this season's over. But, you know, what's our quarterback situation going to be like? And he wants a great quarterback because, he wants to win. Like I said yesterday, he's only been in one playoff game his entire NFL career. He's never been a part of anything close to a winning team. And so we'll see what happens with him and the Rams this year, and then what he does at the end of the season. And I mentioned who the Saints are playing this Sunday. That's going to be tough. And LSU, they're going to play two quarterbacks on Saturday night, according to outgoing head football coach Ed Orgeron. They're going to start Max Johnson, who's been playing, and he's all right.
Great young man.
He's still young. I think Max Johnson, what's he, only a sophomore? But he wants to get this freshman kid, he wants to get him some snaps. And so he says LSU is going to play both of them on Saturday night. And boy, that LSU game last week in Tuscaloosa at Alabama against Nick Saban and the Crimson Tide, they were 4-touchdown underdogs. And it came down to the last play of the game. They only lost by one of those touchdowns. It came down to the last play of the game. And you got to give the LSU team, because they have a lot of players who aren't playing. They're injured. They're out. And give all of those coaches, because all of those coaches are going to be out of work in a few weeks. The entire LSU coaching staff will be out of work in a few weeks. But give the coaching staff credit for having that team ready to play football against either the best or the second best team in the country last Saturday night. So tomorrow they're going to play two quarterbacks, and they want to see how this new freshman kid does as well. And we'll see who LSU hires to be their next head coach. It'll be interesting to see what Coach O will be doing. I mean, obviously, he doesn't have to do anything with the buyout, the multi-million-dollar buyout he's getting, multi-million-dollar buyout he's getting. He doesn't have to do anything for the rest of his life.
He has to do commentary. I would love to hear him do commentary.
Well, that's what I mean. We'll see him pop up somewhere. It'll be fun to hear him.
It would be. Just have him do commentary on any NFL game. I would love to hear it.
Any college game, yeah. Hell, I listen to him do commentary on high school games. And here we are on Friday with another big football weekend. And, boy, speaking of football, last night, the NFL Thursday night game, I don't think there's one person in our King of the Bayou, our radio station football picking contest, who picked the Miami Dolphins to beat Baltimore Ravens
last night.
There's
one person who did. Me. I'm the only person that got a point.
You picked Miami last night? That's why you're in first place.
Yes, now I'm 4 points. Yeah, see, yesterday I was 3 points ahead.
Games.
Now
you're 4 games ahead.
Now I'm four. See that?
How about that? Coleman, you're the only person that won.
Yeah.
Because I can't imagine anybody else in that who's participating in our King of the Bayou football challenge who picked the Miami Dolphins to beat Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens last night, and they sure did. That's what makes football great, any given Sunday or any given Thursday night.
And that's what makes the King of the Bayou football challenge great. Anybody could win at any time. You don't necessarily have to know anything about football to win. You just got to get lucky.
Yeah, we've told you to sign up. I mean, even though we're about halfway through the season, we give out weekly prizes every week for the person who picks the most NFL games right. Who picks the most winners, no point spread. And whoever does that, they get $50 to spend at Zapardo's Family Market. We do that every week. So if you haven't signed up for our King of the Bayou football challenge, there's still a lot you can win. It's fun. It's free. It don't cost none. And it only takes a few seconds to sign up. Go to our website and sign up. It's our King of the Bayou football challenge. You'll see it right there. At Bayou957.com. Bayou95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. You know whose birthday it is today? Happy birthday to former Spokane, Washington NAACP president Rachel Dolezal. Remember her? She's the white woman who identifies as black. Well, today's her birthday. Happy birthday. She's getting her own reality show. It's called Here Comes Honky Boo Boo. If you want to send her a gift, she's registered a Cracker Barrel. And she's 44 today, but she identifies as 29. So happy birthday to Rachel Dolezal. You're on Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. John Osterlund here with you. So the girlfriend of Aaron Rodgers made some news yesterday because she bragged about how big his penis is. Her name is Shailene Woodley. And they started dating this year. I think Aaron Rodgers, the star quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, I think he dumped the race car driver, Danica Patrick, for her. Or he met her not long after he broke up with race car driver Danica Patrick. But obviously Aaron Rodgers has been in the news a lot lately. He did not play last Sunday because he was suspended. He missed the game because he tested positive for COVID. And you got to go away for 10 days or whatever it is. And he didn't play. And it's ironic, the quarterback who played for him is the player who they drafted in the first round two drafts ago, and that angered Aaron Rodgers a lot because they didn't draft him an offensive lineman or another wide receiver or someone to help him. They drafted someone to eventually take his job, and that angered Aaron Rodgers. And that's why Aaron Rodgers wants out of Green Bay. And this looks like it's going to be his last year in Green Bay. But that player, Jordan Love, it was his first NFL start, and he's got a long way to go. It looks like Rodgers, he's playing Sunday this week. He's back. Green Bay, they're a top pick to go to the Super Bowl this year. So with Aaron Rodgers being in the news because he wasn't vaccinated and he lied and he said he was immunized, but he tested positive for COVID, his girlfriend, the actress Shailene Woodley, who I was not familiar with, I had never heard of her until he started dating her, she bragged about how well she knows her fiancé. Oh, they're fiancé. They're engaged. It's more than his girlfriend. She's his fiancé. Well, she bragged about how well she knows her fiancé, Aaron Rodgers' body. She posted on social media. And when she posted, when she posted on social media, she slammed one publication called the Daily Mail for misidentifying Aaron Rodgers in photos. She blasted the outlet for grasping at straws to disparage Aaron, because there's a lot of people who aren't happy with Aaron Rodgers because he hasn't gotten vaccinated and he lied about it. And so there's been a bunch of negative stuff written about Aaron Rodgers in the press over these last couple of weeks. And his 29-year-old fiance took to social media to stick up for her future husband.
Stick up?
In one of the pictures that they identified as Aaron Rodgers, they were wrong. She said, I know Aaron's body very well. First off, his feet, and no offense to this rando dude, are a lot bigger. So she was saying, this can't be my fiance in the picture because his feet are a lot bigger.
Well, if it is true that Aaron Rodgers is well endowed, one can say he's a Packer.
At least for the rest of this year, he is, Coleman. And she was just saying some things on social media, but it's nice. You know your fiancé's got your back when she says you, in the social media post, that you got a big Johnson. that Aaron Rodgers' junk isn't in the trunk. Because it's under the hood. I wish those two the best. I wish them well in their future. Coming up next, it's this morning's Big O segment. We still have a lot to get to on the show this morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. I'm John Osterlund. Since it's a few minutes after 7, it's time for this morning's Big O. Always want to get your take on the Big O. And this morning, I want to get your take, especially if you're a woman, if you're a female listening. And I guess if you're a man, you could text us your opinion on this. But the reason I'm asking for you to let us know what you think this morning, I'm asking for you to be a woman, is because People Magazine this week announced their annual Sexiest Man Alive. And this year, they said that person is Paul Rudd, the actor. Now, look, I don't have an opinion on this personally. He looks like a decent-looking guy. What do you want me to say? Not my thing. But there are some women out there that said, wait a minute. You know, we think Paul Rudd's okay, but he is not the sexiest man alive. This female journalist named Nikki Gostin wrote a column, and she said, sorry, Paul Rudd is many things, but sexiest man alive is not one of them. She says she speaks for many, many women out there. When she saw this, she said, huh? And she says, don't get me wrong. I love Paul Rudd. Paul, if you're reading this, I'd pepper you with compliments if I could. You're adorable, cute as a button, seemingly ageless, charming, delightful. She says all of those things. And then she says, you're just not sexy.
What?
That's what this female journalist says, Coleman. And then she goes on to say, sexy comes in many forms, but Ant-Man isn't one of them. And it appears that this is something Paul Rudd himself is actually aware of. In the People magazine, in that issue that said he's the sexiest man alive, he said, quote, this is not false humility. There are so many people that should get this before me. That's what he said.
But did she make any recommendations?
Some guy named Rege Jean Page. I've never heard of him. I guess he's in something called Bridgerton. I guess that's a TV show.
I don't know what the hell that is.
So she said she likes him. She says Paul Rudd's vibe is more grounding. And she just doesn't see him as sexy. She's not just saying he's not the sexiest man alive. She doesn't think he's really sexy at all.
That makes me wonder how she looks now. I wonder if she's the sexiest woman alive. I wonder if I was to go look at her page or her
profile. She's not saying she's the sexiest woman.
I know that, but I'm saying for her to judge what's sexy and what sexy isn't, it makes me wonder how she looks.
But isn't finding another person attractive a lot like music?
Yeah.
Isn't it very subjective?
Of course it is. So for her to go out on a limb and say, no, she is not the sexiest man alive, it makes me wonder what makes her think that she's the authority on that. Especially even after she said sexiness comes in different shapes and forms, yet she still goes out on a limb saying, with that being said, there's nothing sexy about Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd is 52 years old. So that says something. I mean, here's a guy in his 50s who People Magazine said is the sexiest man alive. He's from New Jersey. Usually when you think of New Jersey, you don't think of sexy. That's not a word.
He doesn't sound like he's from New Jersey. If you'd have told me, if you'd have asked me, where do you think Paul Rudd is from, I wouldn't have never guessed New Jersey. He doesn't have that Jersey accent.
By the way, Paul Rudd has been happily married for 18 years, and he's got two kids. Paul Rudd said his wife was stupefied when he won this award, when they found out.
Well, in all honesty, women do find things attractive that men don't. The fact that he is married and he has kids and he's a family man, women find security in that. So the fact that he takes care of his family, he's a family man, women do find that attractive. Just like, who were just talking about? Pete Davidson, that comedian, right?
That's some incredible list of women that he's dated.
Right, and you know, women have asked, like, what do you find attractive about this guy? He doesn't look sexy. He's not clearly not appealing. And they say, well, he does things like he lives with his mom. He take care of his mom. You know, he's very charming. Like he's vulnerable. Some women are attracted to vulnerability. The fact that Pete Davidson and Paul Rudd are just regular ass dudes that take care of their family, women find that stuff attractive. You don't necessarily have to be chiseled or, you know, have charming, rugged looks and beards and all that. You can just be a regular dude that does good stuff for people, and people like that. Women like that.
That's why I'm asking, if you're a woman, text us. What do you think of Paul Rudd being named People Magazine's sexiest man alive for the year 2021? Do you think that guy is sexy? Who do you think the sexiest man alive is? If you're a female listening right now. Coleman, we got a couple of calls from People Magazine. They were asking for you a couple of weeks back.
I missed them. See, I thought it was a spamless number, so I didn't answer the phone. But, yeah, they did reach out to me. I found out later, but by the time I had reached back to them, they said, now we're already going with Paul Rudd. So I was close, but the thing is, I'm more than sexy for 1 year. You may be the sexiest man of the century or the sexiest man forever and ever. Yeah, I would take that spot. But, you know, the People Magazine Sexiest Man Alive is only for 1 year. I don't have an expiration date.
Well, you wouldn't win the humblest man of the year if they had an award for that.
This text says, Paul Rudd is freaking hot. Everyone has their own opinion on what's sexy. This one says, Jason Momoa or Remy Malek deserves it way more than Paul Rudd. I'm calling BS.
They don't do sexiest woman alive, do they?
No, because that would be sexist. Yeah, if we did sexiest woman alive, then everybody would say, oh, you know, it's misogynistic and all that. So you can't get away with stuff like that for women. This text says, who reads People Magazine anyway? But that's the trick. Nobody reads it. We all just look at the pictures.
Well, when I first saw this, there were two things that popped into my head. I couldn't believe Paul Rudd was named Sexiest Man Alive, and I couldn't believe People Magazine was still in circulation.
Hey, somebody agrees Paul Rudd is cute for sure, but not my pick. The Bridgerton star Reg Jean Page, whoever that is who I would have picked. I don't know who this guy is. That's the second time. I've never watched Bridgerton. It doesn't seem like my type
no,
of
No, I've never seen it either. So
I
have
no
know.
Idea who that dude is.
Although in the story I'm reading about Paul Rudd, it's got a picture of this guy, and he's got a beard, but it's not a bushy beard. This Reg Jean Page.
Okay. Casey says, sounds like her definition of sexy is superficial and shallow. If this was written about women, people would flip out. Many women find being funny sexy. Sexy AF. This text says, it's his smiles and his dimples and his eyes.
Hey, I've got dimples and I've got eyes. Nice smile. Yeah, that's what I want to hear from you. If you're a female, do you think Paul Rudd is sexy? Who do you think the sexiest man alive is? Text us at 504-260-9595. Always keep them short. And if they're good, we will read your text coming up next on the show. And please never text while you're driving. See, if you ask me who the sexiest woman alive is, it would take me a little bit of time, and I would have to probably buy you 95.7 New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. I'm John Osterlund. Since it's a few minutes after 7, it's time for this morning's Big O.
Oh.
Always want to get your take on the Big O. And this morning, I want to get your take, especially if you're a woman, if you're a female listening. And I guess if you're a man, you could text us your opinion on this. But the reason I'm asking for you to let us know what you think this morning, I'm asking for you to be a woman, is because People Magazine this week announced their annual Sexiest Man Alive. And this year, they said that person is Paul Rudd, the actor. Oh, I don't have an opinion on this personally. He looks like a decent-looking guy. What do you want me to say? Not my thing. But there are some women out there that said, wait a minute. You know, we think Paul Rudd's okay, but he is not the sexiest man alive. This female journalist named Nikki Gostin wrote a column, and she said, sorry, Paul Rudd is many things, but sexiest man alive is not one of them. She says she speaks for many, many women out there. When she saw this, she said, huh? And she says, don't get me wrong, I love Paul Rudd. Paul, if you're reading this, I'd pepper you with compliments if I could. You're adorable, cute as a button, seemingly ageless, charming, delightful. She says all of those things. And then she says, you're just not sexy.
What?
That's what this female journalist says, Coleman. And then she goes on to say, sexy comes in many forms, but Ant-Man isn't one of them. And it appears that this is something Paul Rudd himself is actually aware of. In the People magazine, in that issue that said he's the sexiest man alive, he said, quote, This is not false humility. There are so many people that should get this before me. That's what he said.
But did she make any recommendations?
Some guy named Rij Jean Page. I've never heard of him. I guess he's in something called Bridgerton. I guess that's a TV show.
I don't know what the hell that is.
So she said she likes him. She says Paul Rudd's vibe is more grounding. And she just doesn't see him as sexy. She's not just saying he's not the sexiest man alive. She doesn't think he's really sexy at all.
That makes me wonder how she looks now. I wonder if she's the sexiest woman alive. I wonder if I was to go look at her page or her
profile. She's not saying she's the sexiest woman.
I know
alive.
That, but I'm saying for her to judge what's sexy and what sexy isn't, it makes me wonder how she looks.
But isn't finding another person attractive a lot like music?
Yeah.
Isn't it very subjective?
Of course it is. So for her to go out on a limb and say, no, she is not the sexiest man alive, it makes me wonder what makes her think that she's the authority on that. Especially even after she said sexiness comes in different shapes and forms, yet she still goes out on a limb saying, with that being said, there's nothing sexy about Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd is 52 years old. So that says something. I mean, here's a guy in his 50s who People Magazine said is the sexiest man alive. He's from New Jersey. Usually when you think of New Jersey, you don't think of sexy. That's not a word.
He doesn't sound like he's from New Jersey. If you'd have told me, if you'd have asked me, where do you think Paul Rudd is from, I wouldn't have never guessed New Jersey. He doesn't have that Jersey accent.
By the way, Paul Rudd has been happily married for 18 years, and he's got two kids. Paul Rudd said his wife was stupefied when he won this award, when they found out.
Well, in all honesty, women do find things attractive that men don't. The fact that he is married and he has kids and he's a family man, women find security in that. So the fact that he takes care of his family, he's a family man, women do find that attractive. Just like, who was just talking about? Pete Davidson, that comedian, right?
That's some incredible list of women that he's dated.
Right, and you know, women have asked, like, what do you find attractive about this guy? He doesn't look sexy. He's not clearly not appealing. And they say, well, he does things like he lives with his mom. He take care of his mom. You know, he's very charming. Like he's vulnerable. Some women are attracted to vulnerability. The fact that Pete Davidson and Paul Rudd are just regular ass dudes that take care of their family, women find that stuff attractive. You don't necessarily have to be chiseled or, you know, have charming, rugged looks and beards and all that. You can just be a regular dude that does good stuff for people, and people like that. Women like that.
That's why I'm asking, if you're a woman, text us. What do you think of Paul Rudd being named People Magazine's sexiest man alive for the year 2021? Do you think that guy is sexy? Who do you think the sexiest man alive is? If you're a female listening right now. Coleman, we got a couple of calls from People Magazine. They were asking for you a couple of weeks back.
I missed them. See, I thought it was a spamress number, so I didn't answer the phone. But, yeah, they did reach out to me. I found out later, but by the time I had reached back to them, they said, now we're already going with Paul Rudd. So I was close, but the thing is, I'm more than sexy for 1 year. You may be the sexiest man of the century or the sexiest man forever and ever. Yeah, I would take that spot. But, you know, the People magazine, Sexiest Man Alive, is only for 1 year. I don't have an expiration date.
Well, you wouldn't win the humblest man of the year if they had an award for that.
This text says, Paul Rudd is freaking hot. Everyone has their own opinion on what's sexy. This one says, Jason Momoa or Remy Malek deserves it way more than Paul Rudd. I'm calling BS.
They don't do Sexiest Woman Alive, do they?
No, because that would be sexist. Yeah, if we did Sexiest Woman Alive, then everybody would say, oh, you know, it's misogynistic and all that. So you can't get away with stuff like that for women. This text says, who reads People magazine anyway? But that's the trick. Nobody reads it. We all just look at the pictures.
Well, when I first saw this, there were two things that popped into my head. I couldn't believe Paul Rudd was named Sexiest Man Alive, and I couldn't believe People magazine was still in circulation.
Hey, somebody agrees. Paul Rudd is cute for sure, but not my pick. The Bridgerton star Reg Jean Page, whoever that is who I would have picked. I don't know who this guy is. It's the second time. I've never watched Bridgerton. It doesn't seem like my type
no,
of
No, I've never seen it either. So
I
have
no
know.
Idea who that dude is.
Although in the story I'm reading about Paul Rudd, it's got a picture of this guy, and he's got a beard, but it's not a bushy beard. This Reg Jean Page.
Okay. Casey says, sounds like her definition of sexy is superficial and shallow. If this was written about women, people would flip out. Many women find being funny sexy. Sexy AF. This text says, it's his smiles and his dimples and his eyes.
Hey, I've got dimples and I've got eyes. Nice smile. Yeah, that's what I want to hear from you. If you're a female, do you think Paul Rudd is sexy? Who do you think the sexiest man alive is? Text us at 504-260-9595. Always keep them short. And if they're good, we will read your text coming up next on the show. And please never text while you're driving. See, if you ask me who the sexiest woman alive is, it would take me a little bit of time, and I would have to probably give you a group of like 5 or 10 that it would be nearly impossible for me to pick one woman above some others. I would say, well, this woman is sexy, like Rachel McAdams, the actress, you know, but I think Anna Kendrick is just as sexy. Not, you know what I mean? It's hard to pick one over the other.
Yeah, you know, I find different
who's,
women.
Who's the model that, what's her name? She was in the Blurred Lines music video.
Oh, Emily Shabrabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabarabar I know you like thinner women. Like I like yes. thick women. Yeah. So yeah, when it comes to what I find sexy is different. Sometimes I find a woman's creativity sexy. Sometimes it is just physical. Sometimes I find a woman sexy that you wouldn't think is sexy looking at it, but she has like a personality. You know, there's different things that I find sexy in a woman, and I haven't met one woman that encompasses all that at once. So I can find a variety, like 4, 5, 6, 7 different women and say, man, these women are sexy, and for all different reasons. They all look alike. They all dress. I mean, they all don't look alike. They all dress differently. They all have different interests. And you would be confused as to what my type would be, because I don't necessarily have a type, because I find different things attractive.
Yeah, I kind of have a type, but it would be hard for me to pick one if there were a sexiest woman alive. I'd be able to narrow it down to maybe 10 or 12. Text us. I want to hear from you.
I don't count too. When you pick your sexiest man alive, it's not including me. So I'm sorry. Yeah, it can't be me.
And your texts are next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. You know what happened today? The very first known photograph of the Loch Ness Monster was taken. Lockie, that happened today in 1933. A Bigfoot took the picture. But, you know, and they've never figured out what that was, or if you've ever seen pictures of the Loch Ness Monster, the very first one was taken today in 1933. Big world mystery. Coming up next, your texts. And we asked for women to text us this morning. I mean, you could text us if you're a guy, too. I mean, do you think Paul Rudd is the sexiest man alive? People magazine named him that this year. Do you think he's sexy at all? Because we just read some things from a female journalist that said he's a lot of things, but sexy is not one of them. Your texts on that next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only. Classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. John Osterlund here with you. If you're just joining us, this morning's Big O segment was Paul Rudd was named People Magazine's sexiest man alive this week for the year 2021. I asked you, if you were a woman, to text us. Do you agree? Do you think he's sexy? Who do you think the sexiest man alive is?
This first text says, all the reasons that journalists listed is why Paul won the award. Sexiest is more than just skin deep. This text says, why does it always have to be celebrities? There are hundreds of thousands of very sexy men that are normal blue-collar workers.
So do you think grabbing somebody that nobody knows who they are and just putting them on the cover of People magazine saying he's the sexiest man alive, that would make him famous, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but he would still be a hard-working blue-collar person. This text says, I think he's sexy. It's just sad that this title gives people an opportunity to bash his looks and give their opinions on what he's not or what they think he's not. All right. Check this one out. From Aaron Rodgers' penis size to Paul Rudd being the sexiest man alive. Are you guys gay? It makes sense. You're both not married and don't have any kids. What's happening to my favorite show?
Now, I've said, I'm on record. I said before, there have been times in my life I wished I was gay. It would make my life a lot easier.
Marge says, Coleman should have won. It wouldn't be unfair, though. This text says, Ryan Reynolds. All right, fairly attractive. You know what? When it comes to like Ryan Reynolds and Paul Rudd, Stephen Colbert, Pete Davidson, all the sexiest men alive have one thing in common is that they all have excellent sense of humor. It's never just like a stoic guy that ever made sexiest man alive. There's always somebody that can make you laugh. Shay says, I think his personality shines more than his looks. This text says, Paul Rudd is like your hot dad neighbor.
You know, I'm enjoying these texts. I just wonder why they never do a sexiest woman alive. They don't do that. Is it that would be sexist and misogynistic? Is that why?
I believe so. If you did something called the sexiest woman alive, people would be outraged. It said, you know, it's misogynistic. You know, it's the whole Me Too thing. So, yeah, you wouldn't be able to get away with that with a woman, because then other women would feel insecure about themselves. And they say, oh, here's an unrealistic portrayal of what women are supposed to be. What about the average woman? Kind of like Barbie dolls and stuff like that. We've been through this before. You know, with women saying it's not a realistic representation of what a man or a woman is supposed to be. So, yeah.
Well, thank you for the text. We appreciate it. I would have a tough time picking one sexiest woman alive. We'd be able to narrow it down a bit.
I would too, but I would know that whoever I would choose to be the sexiest woman alive, she'd weigh more than 150 pounds. I can't do these skin and bones chicks.
See, that's where we differ. You like women who are a little bigger.
Yeah.
I like some bigger women too, but I don't know. I've always found heroin chic. fairly attractive. We invite you to text our show throughout our whole show, no matter what we're talking about. Give us your opinion. Always keep it short. But if your text is good, we'll read it on the show. Coming up, I still got the dumbest thing I read all morning. And we still got a lot to get to. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7. Coming up next, it took a long time, but there's finally been another Tonya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan event. That's next on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here with you. When I was a kid, I used to love playing with Mr. Potato Head when I was a little kid. Did you know that when Mr. Potato Head first came out way back in 1952, the only thing that it came with when you bought Mr. Potato Head was body parts on sharp spikes. You had to provide your own potato.
I did know that, actually.
You knew that?
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen it on the History Channel.
Yeah, again, that started in 1952. The plastic potato didn't come around until the 70s when they decided, maybe we'll sell more of these things if we actually put the potato inside of Mr. Potato Head.
Or maybe we stop getting backlash from kids pricking themselves with the pins because they were too sharp. You know, beep. Those things were pretty sharp to like actually fitting in a potato or sticking a potato.
Yeah, maybe some people were bummed out that you were wasting a potato, not eating it, and you were using it to play this game. Because I remember I wasn't alive, but I've read about the potato famine. Remember the big potato famine in Ireland? Some people died because they ran out of potatoes. I thought that was a very interesting fact. I had no idea when I was playing that because I was a kid in the 70s, a little kid. I was maybe one of the first ones to ever play Mr. Potato Head with the plastic potato that came with it.
Did you know that Mr. Potato Head and Mrs. Potato Head are the exact same potato? All you have to do is switch out the eyes and the lips and the hair bow. Now, you could actually take the parts from Mrs. Potato Head and put it on Mr. Potato Head and be the exact same thing.
How about that? Well, some Potato Head facts. And I've got something else here that I thought was fascinating. Did you know, or do you know, what the rarest mammal in North America is? When I first saw this, I thought it was Kanye West. But a story just came out about how a homeowner in the state of Colorado just found the rarest mammal in North America hiding in their garage.
The rarest mammal? A spotted bear?
Nope.
Huh. There's no such thing as a spotted bear, so that's why I thought that may be rare. Bigfoot. Sasquatch is pretty rare, right? We were just talking about the Loch Ness Monster took his picture today.
Bigfoot is rare, but the rarest mammal in North America that was just found hiding in some homeowner's garage out in Colorado. Is a black-footed ferret. Evidently, it escaped from a nearby colony and ended up in this person's garage. And when this person saw it, it made a phone call. And come to find out, it ended up being the rarest mammal in North America.
I learned something today.
I think I used to own a Blackfoot ferret. I had two ferrets.
Well, wait, slow down. A lot of people own ferrets, so ferrets aren't rare.
Right.
But the black-footed ferret is the rarest mammal in North America. So that's different than all of the ferrets that you see that people have in their houses or
yeah,
have as pets.
Because now I want to know what makes a black-footed ferret different from a regular-ass ferret, because one of my ferrets did have black feet. So I may have had a rare mammal in my house and didn't even know it.
Colorado Parks and Wildlife confirmed that a black-footed ferret was found in a residential garage in Pueblo, Colorado. And that home is located near a ranch that is home to a colony of the rare and endangered mammals. State officials there and biologists have been releasing ferrets onto that ranch. It's called the Walker Ranch since 2013.
Is Chuck Norris on it?
No. It is believed that the animal found in the garage came from that colony, from that ranch. A biologist said, "We don't know exactly why the black-footed ferret left the colony. We put them into prairie dog burrows, but they may not stay. Sometimes they scramble around the colony to find the right home. This one might have gotten pushed out by other ferrets, and it went looking for a new home. We really don't know."
It got rejected.
And then, to answer your question, Coleman, the biologist said, "This is extremely rare. Black-footed ferrets are nocturnal and extremely shy. For some reason, this one left the colony and was seeking shelter." We're just glad it appeared healthy, not starving or sick, and we were able to capture it and return it to the colony.
Now, here's the thing. If the ferret got pushed out of the colony and got rejected by the other ferrets, why would bringing it back be any different? It's going to get rejected again, and you get what I mean? They should have did something else with it, because if it got rejected the first time, bringing it back is going to get rejected again, right?
Yeah, well, and then once they found this, Coleman, they said finding the rarest mammal in North America in your garage is quite the way to start the week.
Is there a way I can get financially compensated for having a rare mammal in my garage?
Maybe that's what that homeowner in Colorado is wondering. This past Monday, an endangered black-footed ferret, the rarest mammal in North America, was found in a garage on the west side of Pueblo, Colorado. And then they thanked the resident for making a phone call. And they thanked the wildlife officers out there.
Yeah, but where can I exchange these thank yous for some kind of financial reward or compensation? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
It was among 9 black-footed ferrets released by biologists 2 weeks ago in an ongoing effort to recover the black-footed ferret in North America. So they're hoping these black-footed ferrets, there's 9 of them.
Yeah.
They're hoping that they do ferret sex. They not just ferret sex, but they do black-footed ferret sex, because they need more of these mammals.
Right. So the fact that this ferret was in his guy's garage and now he's helping by calling, he called the proper authorities and they found the black-footed ferret to be returned to the cow. He's saving a species. Throw the guy a few bucks, right? He's helping an endangered species. The least you can do is throw him a few bucks instead of just saying, thank you for saving this species that's going extinct and endangered.
Yeah, you know, you would think, I know I'd sleep better at night if I just helped save a species.
Right, if a white horned rhino was in my backyard and I called somebody to come get it, hey, I'm helping. It's money. Give some money.
Yeah, there aren't too many white horned rhinos on the West Bank. Coming up, I still got the dumbest thing I read all morning. And coming up next, it took a long time, but there was another Tonya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan story. Just like that. That's next here on Bayou 95.7. New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. It took a long time, but there was another Tonya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan incident. It happened the other day on a soccer team over in Europe. It's a female soccer team, and four women teammates were driving in a car when they went someplace and they were getting out of the car, and these two guys with ski masks on and metal pipes grabbed one of the female soccer players and started hitting her in her legs.
Paya!
With the metal pipes. And then they ran away. Well, after a little investigating, one of that victim's teammates was arrested for orchestrating the whole thing. Setting it up. Because she wanted more playing time. Isn't that something? It took a long time, but this is the first story I've seen of a Tonya Harding type of attack on a rival in the world of sports since.
But there's a lot easier way to get more playtime than orchestrating the beating of one of your teammates' legs. All you have to do is be a better soccer player. See, if you were a better soccer player, you would get more time on the soccer field. But now that she got caught in this investigation, she might not have any play time after this.
Yeah, well, and the soccer team out there is saying that they're cooperating and they're following the investigation, and they will make any move that they have to make. But it took a long time. I remember that Tonya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan situation.
Why?
And all these years later, it just repeated itself. Female European soccer. That's not the dumbest thing I read all morning. Even though it's a really stupid thing. That's coming up next. And it has to do with a balloon. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans classic rock station. Good morning. J.O. here with you. It's that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. A man who recently rode on top of a hot air balloon just set the world record for doing that.
Say what?
He's a French balloonist.
I didn't even know that was a thing, a balloonist.
I wonder how many kids growing up, when they say, what do you want to be? Oh, I want to be a fireman, you know, I want to be a baseball player. I want to be a balloonist.
Okay, but I want to make sure I hear you correctly. He was on top of a hot air balloon.
Yes.
Not in the basket.
No, no, he was on top of the hot air balloon.
Was the hot air balloon in the air when it happened?
Yeah, it was in the air.
Oh, my God.
That's the world record part of it, Coleman. His name is Remy Ouvard. He's a French balloonist. You would think out of all the countries on the planet, France would have the best balloonist.
I mean, all right. He got the world record for being on top of a hot air balloon while it was in the air. I'm just going to assume he got the world record because he's probably the only person willing to do such a thing, right? I'm hoping.
No, there were a few
others. Wow! What is going on with people?
You know, Guinness has the Book of World Records, and there are most world records are things people wouldn't think about doing.
Exactly. He was on top of a hot air balloon, not in the basket, on top of the balloon itself.
Yes, on top of the hot air balloon.
If I was the Guinness Book of World Records, I would say we don't even want to record this because that's just that. Why?
And what was the world record? He was 4,016 meters above the ground.
Oh, all right. So it's going by distance, not time, being on top of the...
Yeah, it's how high the balloon is in the air. That's what...
That's crazy.
And if you were like me and you were wondering exactly how high 4,016 meters is... A meter is a little over 3 feet.
Yeah.
So it's up there.
I'm perplexed now because in order to get a hot air balloon going, there's like this little flame fire thing that you have to pull it down and that hot air fills the balloon up. So how did he get on top of the balloon without him burning himself? Did he wait for the balloon to finally expand, and then he got on top of it?
Yes.
Okay. All right. This is, wow. Ugh.
Hey, different people have different goals, dude. It's different strokes for different strokes.
Clearly.
You know, this guy wanted to break the world record for being on top of a hot air balloon, and it's the highest in the air it's ever been. And he did that. He's a French balloonist. And
I don't know what's worse, that somebody wanted to do this or there's more than one person willing to do this so they can break the record. Meaning that now that somebody saw that, someone else is going to say, well, I'm going to try to beat that and go 5,000 feet in the air on top of the damn
meters.
Meters, yeah. Whatever the hell. Jeez.
Anyways, the man who rode on top of a hot air balloon got so high, he did it for so long that he's just set a world record.
He probably was high thinking about this stuff.
Good for him. He's a world record holder. He accomplished that. I've never done that in my life, but that's the dumbest thing I read all morning.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I have points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
We're on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. John Osterlund here with you. When I was a kid, I used to love playing with Mr. Potato Head when I was a little kid. Did you know that when Mr. Potato Head first came out, way back in 1952, the only thing that it came with when you bought Mr. Potato Head was body parts on sharp spikes. You had to provide your own potato.
I did know that, actually.
You knew that?
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen it on the History Channel.
Yeah, again, that started in 1952. The plastic potato didn't come around until the 70s when they decided maybe we'll sell more of these things if we actually put the potato inside of Mr. Potato Head.
Or maybe we stop getting backlash from kids pricking themselves with the pins because they were too sharp. You know, beep. Those things were pretty sharp to like actually fitting in a potato or sticking a potato.
Yeah, maybe some people were bummed out that you were wasting a potato, not eating it, and you were using it to play this game. Because I remember I wasn't alive, but I've read about the potato famine. Remember the big potato famine in Ireland? Some people died because they ran out of potatoes. I thought that was a very interesting fact. I had no idea when I was playing that because I was a kid in the 70s, a little kid. I was maybe one of the first ones to ever play Mr. Potato Head with the plastic potato that came with it.
Did you know that Mr. Potato Head and Mrs. Potato Head are the exact same potato? All you have to do is switch out the eyes and the lips and the hair bow. Now, you could actually take the parts from Mrs. Potato Head and put it on Mr. Potato Head and be the exact same thing.
How about that? Well, some Potato Head facts. And I've got something else here that I thought was fascinating. Did you know, or do you know, what the rarest mammal in North America is? When I first saw this, I thought it was Kanye West. But a story just came out about how a homeowner in the state of Colorado just found the rarest mammal in North America hiding in their garage.
The rarest mammal? A spotted bear?
Nope.
Huh. There's no such thing as a spotted bear, so that's why I thought that may be rare. Bigfoot. Sasquatch is pretty rare, right? We were just talking about the Loch Ness Monster took his picture today.
Bigfoot is rare. But the rarest mammal in North America that was just found hiding in some homeowner's garage out in Colorado is a black-footed ferret. Evidently, it escaped from a nearby colony and ended up in this person's garage. And when this person saw it made a phone call and come to find out it ended up being the rarest mammal in North America.
I learned something today.
I think I used to own a Blackfoot ferret. I had two ferrets.
Well, slow down. A lot of people own ferrets, so ferrets aren't rare.
Right.
But the black-footed ferret is the rarest mammal in North America. So that's different than all of the ferrets that you see that people have in their houses or have as pets.
Because now I want to know what makes a black-footed ferret different from a regular-ass ferret, because one of my ferrets did have black feet. So I may have had a rare mammal in my house and didn't even know it.
Colorado Parks and Wildlife confirmed that a black-footed ferret was found in a residential garage in Pueblo, Colorado. And that home is located near a ranch that is home to a colony of the rare and endangered mammals. state officials there and biologists have been releasing ferrets onto that ranch. It's called the Walker Ranch since 2013.
Is Chuck Norris on it?
No. It is believed that the animal found in the garage came from that colony, from that ranch. A biologist said, we don't know exactly why the black-footed ferret left the colony. We put them into prairie dog burrows, but they may not stay. Sometimes they scramble around the colony to find the right home. This one might have gotten pushed out by other ferrets, and it went looking for a new home. We really don't know.
It got rejected.
And then, to answer your question, Coleman, the biologist said, this is extremely rare. Black-footed ferrets are nocturnal and extremely shy. For some reason, this one left the colony and was seeking shelter. We're just glad it appeared healthy, not starving or sick, and we were able to capture it and return it to the colony.
Now, here's the thing. If the ferret got pushed out of the colony and got rejected by the other ferrets, why would bringing it back be any different? It's going to get rejected again, and you get what I mean? They should have did something else with it. Because if it got rejected the first time, bringing it back is going to get rejected again, right?
Yeah, well, and then once they found this, Coleman, they said finding the rarest mammal in North America in your garage is quite the way to start the week.
Is there a way I can get financially compensated for having a rare mammal in my garage?
Maybe that's what that homeowner in Colorado is wondering. This past Monday, an endangered black-footed ferret, the rarest mammal in North America, was found in a garage on the west side of Pueblo, Colorado. And then they thanked the resident for making a phone call. And they thanked the wildlife officers out there.
Yeah, but where can I exchange these thank yous for some kind of financial reward or compensation? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
It was among 9 black-footed ferrets released by biologists 2 weeks ago in an ongoing effort to recover the black-footed ferret in North America. So they're hoping these black-footed ferrets, there's 9 of them.
Yeah.
They're hoping that they do ferret sex. They not just ferret sex, but they do black-footed ferret sex because they need more of these mammals.
Right. So the fact that this ferret was in his guy's garage and now he's helping by calling, he called the proper authorities and they found the black-footed ferret to be returned to the colony. He's saving a species. Throw the guy a few bucks, right? He's helping an endangered species. The least you can do is throw him a few bucks instead of just saying, thank you for saving this species that's going extinct and endangered.
Yeah, you know, you would think, I know I'd sleep better at night if I just helped save a species.
Right, if a white horned rhino was in my backyard and I called somebody to come get it, hey, I'm helping. It's money. Give some money.
Yeah, there aren't too many white horned rhinos on the West Bank. Coming up, I still got the dumbest thing I read all morning. And coming up next, it took a long time, but there was another Tonya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan story. Just like that. That's next here on Bayou 95.7. New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. It took a long time, but there was another Tonya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan incident. It happened the other day on a soccer team over in Europe. It's a female soccer team. and four women teammates were driving in a car when they went someplace and they were getting out of the car, and these two guys with ski masks on and metal pipes grabbed one of the female soccer players and started hitting her in her legs.
Paya!
With the metal pipes. And then they ran away. Well, after a little investigating, one of that victim's teammates was arrested for orchestrating the whole thing, setting it up. Because she wanted more playing time. Isn't that something? It took a long time, but this is the first story I've seen of a Tonya Harding type of attack on a rival in the world of sports since.
But there's a lot easier way to get more playtime than orchestrating the beating of one of your teammates' legs. All you have to do is be a better soccer player. See, if you were a better soccer player, you would get more time on the soccer field. But now that she got caught in this investigation, she might not have any play time after this.
Yeah, well, she and the soccer team out there is saying that they're cooperating and they're following the investigation, and they will make any move that they have to make. But it took a long time. I remember that Tonya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan situation.
Why?
And all these years later, it just repeated itself. Female European soccer. That's not the dumbest thing I read all morning. Even though it's a really stupid thing. That's coming up next. And it has to do with a balloon. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans classic rock station. Good morning. J.O. here with you. It's that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. A man who recently rode on top of a hot air balloon just set the world record for doing that.
Say what?
He's a French balloonist.
I didn't even know that was a thing, a balloonist.
I wonder how many kids growing up, when they say, what do you want to be? Oh, I want to be a fireman, you know, I want to be a baseball player. I want to be a balloonist.
Okay, but I want to make sure I hear you correctly. He was on top of a hot air balloon.
Yes.
Not in the basket.
No, he was on top of the hot air balloon.
Was the hot air balloon in the air when it happened?
Yeah, it was in the air.
Oh, my God.
That's the world record part of it, Coleman. His name is Remy Ouvard. He's a French balloonist. You would think out of all the countries on the planet, France would have the best balloonist.
I mean, all right. He got the world record for being on top of a hot air balloon while it was in the air. I'm just going to assume he got the world record because he's probably the only person willing to do such a thing, right? I'm hoping.
No, there were a few others.
Wow! What is going on with people?
You know, Guinness has the Book of World Records, and there are most world records are things people wouldn't think about doing.
Exactly. He was on top of a hot air balloon, not in the basket, on top of the balloon itself.
Yes, on top of the hot air balloon.
If I was the Guinness Book of World Records, I would say we don't even want to record this because that's just that. Why?
And what was the world record? He was 4,016 meters above the ground.
Oh, all right. So it's going by distance, not time being on top of the
Yeah, it's how high the balloon is in the air. That's what...
It's crazy.
And if you were like me and you were wondering exactly how high 4,016 meters is, a meter is a little over 3 feet.
Yeah.
So it's up there.
I'm perplexed now because in order to get a hot air balloon going, there's like this little flame fire thing that you have to pull it down and that hot air fills the balloon up. So how did he get on top of the balloon without him burning himself? Did he wait for the balloon to finally expand and then he got on top of it?
Yes.
Okay. All right. This is wow. Ugh.
Hey, different people have different goals, dude. It's different strokes for different strokes.
Clearly.
This guy wanted to break the world record for being on top of a hot air balloon, and it's the highest in the air it's ever been. And he did that. He's a French balloonist. And
I don't know what's worse, that somebody wanted to do this or there's more than one person willing to do this so they can break the record. Meaning that now that somebody saw that, someone else is going to say, well, I'm going to try to beat that and go 5,000 feet in the air on top of the damn
meters.
Meters, yeah. Whatever the hell. Jeez.
Anyways, the man who rode on top of a hot air balloon got so high, he did it for so long that he's just set a world record.
He probably was high thinking about this stuff.
Good for him. He's a world record holder. He accomplished that. I've never done that in my life, but that's the dumbest thing I read all morning.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I know points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
We're on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station.